Blog Talk Radio.
We said a prayer because of my...
Okay, well, let me cut my intros. I have my guest on the line. Tell him, Congressman.
Can you hear me? Yes,
I'm...
Okay.
Yeah, thank you. Welcome to the show, Congressman David Nunes from California.
Yeah, Devin. Devin.
Devin, I'm sorry. Would you mind giving a brief introduction to my audience? For those that don't know you, they will know you after tonight, obviously. And you've been doing a lot of media time lately. You were on Sean Hannity's show. I believe it was last night or the day prior, talking about your book and the resurgence of the new Republican Party, conservatives taking over. Tell us who you are, who you represent, and what your main issues are.
Devin Nunes. I'm from California's 21st Congressional District. It's the largest agricultural region in the world, and it's not L.A., not San Francisco. It's a part of California that a lot of people don't know about. I've been in the Congress since 2002, and I serve on the Ways and Means Committee and the Budget Committee.
Perfect. Now, I'm very young. A lot of people that are in the Capitol. Sorry, I'm stuttering a lot tonight. In the Capitol today, in the White House, all these people, they were around there in that environment since before I was born. That's a little troubling to me. One of the issues that people are talking about is term limits. Do you think that's something that could be realized and actualized within the next couple of years with the potential wave of new Republicans coming in, or do you think that's something that's just never going to get to the politicians?
Well, term limits is actually bad for rural areas of California. It's good for big cities, bad for rural areas. Because what happens is without seniority, the rural areas lose any type of possibility of power in the Congress. And the problem is redistricting. Districts need to be drawn to include communities of interest. So cities and counties should not be split. And that's really the problem right now with our government is that you have a lot of politicians who are not accountable because their districts are so gerrymandered that no one knows what district they're actually in. And so if you want to get at the problems, it's not term limits is the problem. It's actually how are the districts drawn and how do you hold people accountable by people actually representing the people that live in the same area that they live in.
Now, on your website, and that's actually a site that I've never heard before, so I thank you for bringing that up to my audience because it seems like a one-sided thing. And I caution people about term limits also because what it does is it kind of takes away that desire for someone to stay in office. And what that does is a lot of the legislation that's currently being brought up probably would have passed already if it wasn't term limits, so they would have got a cushy job afterwards. They would have either got paid off or whatever, but instead they want to get reelected, so they have to vote against it. My congressman is an example of that.
And who's your congressman?
Michael McMahon.
Oh, okay. Sure.
Yep. So, lapdog, blue dog, however you want to call it. So, Congressman Paul Ryan is becoming famous for our side and infamous on the administration side for what he's doing on the issue of entitlements. I talked a lot about it on my show. I've had several experts on it talk about it, including author William Oakley. He's the author of Neverending, Welfare State. I've had people from FDPA, et cetera, et cetera. You have a different version of something that's kind of used as a political football for a while, and that's energy independence. Tell us more about what your roadmap is for America's energy future. It's actually right on your website at Nunes, nunes.house.gov for anybody who wants to check it out. Also, what exactly it is and how it helped the country.
Well, yeah, Paul Ryan is a good friend of mine, and he started the roadmap reforms about 3-4 years ago. And those are reforms that talk about the long-term problems of this country. And he first looked at, okay, what do we need to fundamentally do to change the times? What do we need to fundamentally do to change the tax code? And he asked me to be a part of it, and I talked about energy is actually another issue that we need to talk about in this country because half of our imports are actually involve foreign oil. And so if we can cut down on the importation of foreign oil, we actually could cut our trade deficit in half. And so I put together the Roadmap for America's Future, which is part of the Roadmap Reforms that Paul Ryan has put forward. And we believe that it's where the country has to go long term. And so I can get a little bit into that bill if you'd like me to.
Please.
So what it does essentially is it says that we need to drill for oil in this country. We need to use our coal resources in this country. We need to use our natural gas. We need to use our oil shale. But at the same time, it says that those revenues that would traditionally, royalty revenues that would come into the government, should actually go into a fund that would be used for green technologies or renewable energy. And essentially what we would use, our fossil fuels in this country would bridge ourselves to the next generation of energy. And finally, what it does is that it commits us to try to get 80% of our electricity from nuclear power. And when you take all of this in one piece, it really does some important problems. One being, we actually reduce our carbon footprint. Two, we reduce the cost of energy. And three, we make ourselves competitive on the world market. And that's what the energy roadmap reforms do.
Now, a lot of people use this as kind of, I'm not a tree hugger, I'm not this, I'm not that. First off, there's absolutely nothing wrong with wanting to do the right thing for the environment because it's where we live. I mean, it's a stark difference when you go from where I am in the 13th Congressional District in New York State all the way down south, and we're the most southernmost of the state. When you go to Manhattan, you can't breathe. You can't enjoy a beautiful day, beautiful summer day. When you go shopping, you just have to cover your mouth when you walk around. When you go to other parts of the country that people make fun of, they have fantastic living conditions, and that's something that we can do. And not only that, but it's so wasteful a lot of things that people do. Tell us more about how likely it is that something like this will be actualized within the next 5 to 10 years. There's a lot of challenges to get to wean ourselves off, and that really puts Glenn in place, which is kind of the way he does things. But how realistic do you think is something like this to actually make America a little greener the right way without killing jobs?
Yeah, so the key is that you need to make America greener by drilling for oil in our own country. And I know that's counterintuitive, but really what it means is that if we take our royalty revenues, dedicate them to green and renewable energy, that's the fastest way to make this country greener and reduce our trade deficit and produce clean, abundant energy and reduce people's energy costs. So what the energy roadmap really does is something different than what's ever been done in U.S. policy, and that is that we say that first we need to recognize that we need to stop buying foreign oil from countries, especially those that are hostile to us. And two, that we can use all that revenue to bridge ourselves to the next generation of energy. And third, is that nuclear power is really the most important invention in the 20th century, and we should utilize nuclear power. And unfortunately, what Dwight D. Eisenhower, prominent general in our military in World War II and president, along with Admiral Rickover, what they discovered was that nuclear power could be used to provide clean power to our cities. And they did it in Shippingport, Pennsylvania, and were able to prove they were able to shut down the coal facilities and use the nuclear energy to provide energy, and people quickly realized how good it was. And that doesn't mean that coal energy is still very important to our country. But nuclear could do wonders for this country, and really we need to be on the forefront of nuclear power, because China, India, France, several countries around the world are investing in nuclear power, and shame on us for not doing it.
The way I see it, and the way I like to kind of create a metaphoric image of it, is that if you're having a cheap cousin, cheap friend that has money, is doing well, he's making the same as you, maybe more, you go out to dinner and he magically forgets his wallet or just leans on you to pick up the tip and things like that. we have everything at our fingertips here. Like you said, we have shale, we have coal, clean coal. California is rich in basically every resource known to man that we need to survive. And we're going to places that hate us. The Arabian country is not where we get all of our oil from. We get a lot from Canada and Mexico. But it's still pointless to ship our money overseas, like Ross and Brazil, all them. All that aside, because that's a very important topic. The elections are fast approaching. 2 years ago, I was extremely disappointed in what was going on. I started to realize what had happened and what the Republican Party had evolved into. Now I'm getting hope again with people such as yourself. Tell us what this resurgence is and what is leading it in the Republican platform.
Well, if you... I think it really comes down to a couple things. And I wrote this book called Restoring the Republic. And the reason I call it that is because we're really getting away from republic form of government. And we're getting to a dictatorial, centralized control in Washington form of government where the government has the power and individuals are become reliant on the government, which is a very dangerous position to be in. As Margaret Thatcher once said, socialist governments work great until they run out of other people's money. And that essentially is the problem today, is that we are out of other people's money. And it's unacceptable because we continue to drive ourselves off the cliff. Entitlement spending is out of control. The Obama administration makes people can be critical of President Bush and the Republicans, and they did a lot of bad things. But you know, we had the deficit down to around $200 billion, $250 billion. These guys in 2 years have basically got it up to 1.3, 1.4 billion, not including stimulus, not including
a trillion.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Not including stimulus, not including TARP. It's just spending like I've never seen before. I mean, Obama will borrow more in 2 years than Bush borrowed in 8. So this is a huge problem for our country.
Do you feel this is something that we're going to have to go through the darkness before we see the light, or is this something that if we cut off the feet of this Leviathan, we can eject it and we can fix it before people really start feeling the effects of it, or do people need to feel the effects of it to understand? I know it's hard for politicians to say, but what do you think?
Well, in my congressional district, where we have communities that reach as high as 40% unemployment, we've seen what socialism does. We've seen what the far left has in store for the rest of America. And if you look at the policies that have been implemented by the federal and state government in California in the San Joaquin Valley where I come from, which is an agricultural area, they really have in store far left proposals that take away the power from people and give it to centralized government to create their own dream world of a socialist utopia where people live in a clean, green environment, which basically means that you have high unemployment and no one has jobs. And so and that's why I wrote this book, is I wanted people to understand what was going on in this country, in parts of this country, and know that the politics from California have been exported to Washington, D.C. When you look at the leaders in Washington, D.C., Nancy Pelosi from San Francisco, Henry Waxman, who's running this cap-and-trade bill from Hollywood, these are people who are extreme left. They're not Democrats. They're not moderate Democrats. They are leftists, and they are committed to one thing only, that is centralized power in Washington, D.C. Every bill that they've passed, the way that they run the government, it's proof upon itself.
Now, I would like to, if you don't mind, another 5 to 10 minutes, I would like to ask you a couple of questions, one
sure.
Relating to the upcoming lecture and the friendship book, which I apologize I should have talked about sooner. Your book, Restoring the Republic, recently released. Tell us more about it, and tell us what was the central driving force for you, and did you have any help in writing the book?
Yeah, so the reason I wrote the book was we went through this crisis in my district, and I grew up, was born and raised in my district, and slowly they've stop the timber industry. And then last year, they finally really started to cut off our water like they never had before. And I said, you know, this is really nuts. They wouldn't let me, the Congress wouldn't even let me bring my amendments to the floor, which I thought was something that I'd never seen before, because I thought, well, if the Congress and the government wants to shut off the water to my constituents, then they should at least have to vote on it. And they wouldn't even let me have a clear up and down vote. And so I thought these were important stories that needed to be told to the American public. At the same time, I didn't want to be the guy that sits on the fence and places blame and throws rocks. I wanted to have clear, concrete solutions that regular Americans understand and don't get confused by politicians who try to make the problems more complex than they are. And so what I talk in my book is how California and the problems that California faces are being exported to Washington. And people better be careful, because that means high unemployment. And at the same time, I outline real proposals that restore a republic, so we put power in the hands of the individual American, not in the hands of the government. And that is so critical to the future of this country. I can't say enough how important it is.
Now, once upon a time, the Democrat Party was the party of the people, or at least they used that rhetoric more convincingly. You just said that they cut off supplies and supplies of water with Sean Hannity, their special on it, because of the Delta spot. They cut off water to the farmers, unemployment rate skyrocket, people starving, food lines, all these things that you wouldn't think you would see in America today. It would happen in the past, but not today. They don't even give, like you said, I mean, I didn't know that, and that's shocking to me, and more people should understand that. Hopefully you're able to get the word out through your book and through other means. With that being said, the Republican Party engaged in a lot of these other types of elitist activities in the 6 years that they ran. They ran the whole show. They had a lot of opportunities. They failed in a lot of different aspects of it, talking about Medicare Part D and other entitlements that they grew and expanded and created. Has the Republican Party realized its wrongs, or are they playing the political cards right now?
Well, and then, you know, look, what they went through at the time was they were really trying to reform. When you talk about Medicare Part D, they were trying to reform the Medicare system. And Medicare Part D was really an attempt to show that the private sector could provide the roles of government better than government could. And unfortunately, that got blown out of proportion when President Bush tried to reform Social Security. He was unable to. And look, I'm not saying Republicans were perfect. They were not. They did a lot of things wrong. But when you compare the Republicans to what, I won't even say Democrats, but what the far left in this country did, how they took over this country and have driven the car literally off the edge, to where now we have entitlements that we can never pay for. We have problems in this country that are ongoing with no solutions in sight. It's a scary time for America. And so, you know, really the Republicans make mistakes, but in the long run, they're the only champions of limited government. And what I'm trying to do in the book I wrote is I'm trying to get Republicans back to the, you know, really their core beliefs and core values. And I believe that we're on the right track. Do I think that everything we do is going to be correct? No. But, you know, the United States is not run by political parties. It's run by individuals who are elected to Congress by their constituents. And that, to me, is the most important thing that we have to get back to, is politicians that are elected by their constituents, who care about their constituents, who care about limited government, who don't believe that the federal government can provide for the people, like the individual and their local community can. And that's really the difference between today's Democrats and today's Republicans.
And a lot of people are smiling that are listening to that, and will smile when they hear the archives and things like that. Hearing you say that, and that's something we haven't heard from a politician in so long, and it's so refreshing, because to even just to say it, it's a lot to get past their ego, knowing that they work for somebody else, even though they feel that their highest position in the land. They do work for the people, so we are those people. I'm not going to get into speculation of it's going to be a landslide, it's going to be this and that. I don't believe in that. I believe in the principles of it. So So my final question, I thank you so much, Devin Nunes, from the Great State of California, District 21. The website is nunes.gov, .gov, to check it out and look at his roadmap for the future. His book is Restoring the Republic. And my closing question would be, what three essential arguments, or you can use five, whatever you feel, is paramount to the success and the revitalization of the Republican Party from a principled standpoint? I don't care about the Karl Roves of the world, and I don't care about winning elections if you have the same people in power.
Well, let me quickly say it this way. The most important issues at the highest level have nothing to do with the Republican Party or the Democratic Party. But these are the things that must be solved. Number one, entitlements. They have to be fixed, or else they're going to break the country. We have $13 trillion in debt that does not include the $60 to $100 trillion in debt that we have in the entitlement programs that include Obamacare, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. These programs must be fixed, and they have to be fixed now. Two, the tax code must be fundamentally reformed to where we rip out the tax code by its roots and treat all Americans fairly. And three, we have to have energy security in this country where we drill for oil in our own country, build nuclear power plants, and invest in green and renewable technologies. If we don't do those three things, because those three problems, this country is doomed for failure without action soon. That's as concise as I can say it.
Well, it's about as easy as it is. The solutions are not as difficult as people make it out to be. It's just putting it in action. As you said, that's a very difficult task sometimes. Devin Nunes, Congressman, great state of California, thank you so much once again for putting your time in. Obviously, you guys should be relaxing at this time of the night, so I'll let you go to that.
Well, thank you so much for having me on, and I look forward to doing it again.
God bless you. I can't wait to have you on again, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.